This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, the week four breakdown of the card, meaning Mr. Humans is here with a beautiful backdrop right there. Matt Humans, you can follow him at MattHumans247. I'm at 1 Tim Murray. And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe. And check us out on our new YouTube page, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. Mr. Humans, I know week five looks very enticing from a card standpoint with all the big games, but I think this card this weekend also has a lot of interesting spots, and I'll tell you right now, I'm either going to feel like a genius or an absolute moron based off of the bets that I have, because there are some ugly dogs on my card this week.
Well, Tim, I've said it for years in sports betting, there's a fine line between looking like a genius and a jerk, right? You could be, and that fine line could be 3-2 or 2-3. When you have five plays, you're either a 60% genius or a 40% jerk. And that's just the way it goes. I don't know what you're talking about, the background behind me. It's not like we're in Waikiki. It's not like we're at Hawaii's football stadium. I'm in a hotel. Anyway, but I do like to schedule this week. And let's break it down and hopefully find some winners.
Yeah, little foreshadowing, as Hawaii does have a big one. Some call it the battle for the golden screwdriver, but we'll dive into that game a little bit later on. Hawaii and Fresno State not going to make the top of the card for games to break down. Those are the best games of the week, and we call those the main course.
The main course.
Well, Matt Humans, we'll start with a ranked showdown in Salt Lake City. Not thrilled, neither one of us are thrilled, that this game will start at 10 a.m. local time. But we've got Utah and we've got Texas Tech, a showdown between two teams that really haven't been tested all that much just yet. And right now, as we sit here on this Thursday, Matt, Utah is sitting as a 3-point favorite. FanDuel National Shop does have this at 2.5 juiced if you do like the Utah Utes. And looking at that money line, minus 142 is now the money line price on the Utes. What are you looking at this one? Big noon kickoff on Fox. Our good friend the Bear, Chris Felica, will be out there in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, not a big fan of the – not a fan at all of the early start time. But it would be much better if this were a night game in Salt Lake City, but it's not. We can't change it. And I'll tell you what makes me a little bit uneasy about this play. I've probably talked to 10 people this week about this game, and all 10 are on Utah. But somehow this line has been dropping to where you're seeing a 2.5 out there a couple times this week. And our friend Brad Powers, who we certainly respect as a college football bettor, Brad Powers laying 2.5 with Utah in this game. I think the difference is going to be Kyle Whittingham's offensive and defensive lines. I think the Utes are stronger up front on both sides of the ball. And then you got Devin Dampier, who's a dynamic playmaker. So far, 73% completions. Now, he's not facing elite defenses. We don't know if Texas Tech's defense is elite either. But Dampier, 73%, 7 touchdowns, no picks. He's been sacked only 2 times and 91 dropbacks. He's also got about 200 yards rushing. I think there's just more ways this Utah offense can attack you. And with the strength on the offensive and defensive lines, I like Utah here. I made the number 4.5, Tim. I'm not really sure why it's dropping, and that always concerns me a little bit.
You know, Texas Tech, we have 136 FBS teams, Matt. Through 3 games, they have the easiest strength of schedule among any of the FBS teams. They played Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, and Oregon State. They've dominated them all, but haven't been tested. Now, to play devil's advocate, Utah 119 in strength of schedule, UCLA, Cal Poly, and Wyoming. Listeners of this podcast, you know it as well. I love Devin Dampier. I've been impressed by what we've seen from him so far. And him and Jason Beck have been just a great tandem to bring up to Utah, elite offensive line. So I do have a ticket preseason on Utah to win the Big 12 at 6-1. I also bet Dampier 100-1 to win the Heisman. So I will be very much on your side here, hoping that Utah pulls off this victory. And Matt, hopefully they can win by more than 2, right? We don't want just Utah to win by 2. Need more than 2.
Utah, give me three. Actually, give me four. Give me a win by four. The best meatball subs you've ever had, Tim. Give me four.
Let's get a little sandwich shop right around the corner. All right, let's go to, you know, classic SEC country, Norman, Oklahoma, as number 11 Oklahoma takes on Auburn in the Jackson Arnold revenge game. This will be on ABC, 3:30 Eastern. You know, Matt, we talked about, you know, you mentioned Utah and you got a little bit uncomfortable as this week has gone on. Everyone you've talked to has had Utah. That kind of was my feel with Temple last week. As the week went on, you talk to some folks and they're fine. Oh, you know, this is a sandwich spot. I'm like, oh, that's not good. Murray's Delicatessen might be giving out some bad cold cuts. And they did, because Temple got absolutely hammered by Oklahoma. Matt, this number has kind of continued to rise here in the betting market, with Oklahoma now up to a 7-point favorite at Circa, Westgate Superbook, a couple of 6.5s out there. We saw a little bit of under money come in on Thursday as this got knocked down to around 46.5. Curious if this is similar, Matt, to what we see in, or what we saw in the Michigan game, which was a very low scoring first half, low scoring full game. Oklahoma kind of grinded it out. Auburn had that impressive week one win over Baylor, but they just ran the football, right? They didn't have to utilize their two stud receivers all that much in Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton Jr. I don't have a play on this game. I think I would look first half under 23.5 if I had to play, and I'll probably have a little sprinkle on that one because this is a big game and I'm looking forward to it. I think this might be a more of a feeling out process, but obviously so much familiarity, Matt, between Jackson Arnold and this Oklahoma team. Brent Venables is going to go know all his tendencies, and Arnold's going to know this Oklahoma defense. So very fascinating game here. Our Mason Thomas, the stud D tackle, will be out the first half as he is sidelined due to targeting that was sustained in the second half against Temple.
Yeah, I would expect Jackson Arnold to play well in this game. 69% completion so far. Four touchdowns, no picks. But again, this is a game he's had circled for months. You know this. And Auburn impressed me a little bit against Baylor. More offensive talent than I thought the Tigers had. I was wrong about that game. I was on Baylor in that one, and that was clearly the wrong side. Oklahoma, I laid 5 against Michigan 2 weeks ago. Now, to me, this is a totally different situation, because part of the reason I laid 5 in that game was Bryce Underwood, the freshman quarterback for Michigan, was making his first start on the road. And Tim, it showed, and how bad, really, Underwood was for most of that game that day. I don't think you're going to be able to take advantage of Jackson Arnold quite like that. I do like this Oklahoma defense quite a bit. Right now, is there any quarterback playing at a higher level than John Mateer? Some might say Carson Beck or throwing, but look, John Mateer running and throwing right now is a legit Heisman contender. I like the Sooners team a lot. I'm priced out of the game, though, Tim. I don't want to lay 6 or 6.5. In fact, if this number pops up to 7 at some point, I might grab some Auburn plus 7 just because I think the number is getting a little bit too high. Oklahoma wins, but I think the Sooners are also going to have to grind it out. They beat Michigan 24-13, and winning that game by 11, it wasn't always pretty offensively, and I think this could be a similar type of game.
Yeah, a couple things to keep an eye on here. There are some 7s now out there. Circa, I think, has 7. So we'll see where this continues to trend. Oklahoma, they've got injuries on the offensive line, so that's certainly something to keep an eye on. And in the initial injury report, SEC injury report, a couple of injuries popped up. Jay Crawford, defensive back for Auburn. Williams on the edge there for Auburn as well. So keep an eye on some injuries there. So Auburn dealing with a little bit of attrition. Matt, I mentioned that my card this week could make me feel like a genius or it could make me feel like an absolute dope. And you mentioned genius or jerk. All right, let's get to this game. This is the Genius or Jerk Bowl. Florida at Miami, ABC, 7:30, and this is where College Game Day is, which can't even think is an odd choice, but whatever. Miami's look great. There's no denying that. Last week, you and I think, liked the spot for Miami. It was a best bet for me, and they absolutely dominated South Florida as the clock struck midnight a little bit on the South Florida run here as a Cinderella. And, of course, a common opponent, South Florida, beat this Florida team. You and I, Matt, were not thrilled last Saturday night as DJ Lagway pulled a LeBron, not one, not two, not three. He had five interceptions in that performance down there in Baton Rouge, but Florida outgained LSU 366 to 316. We'll see if they kind of go away from throwing the ball 49 times. The Florida defense is impressive, Matt, but Miami might be the best team in the country. When you look at what they have defensively, Reuben Bain is an absolute game wrecker coming off the edge. And then Mark Fletcher replacing Damian Martinez as their RB1 has been great. You look at the weapons they've brought in, whether it be the freshman Malachi Toney or CJ Daniels coming in from LSU, obviously Carson Beck. This team's really good. This Miami team's really good. I'm going to give Sunbelt Billy, and these could be words that I will happily put out there on Twitter when I look like an absolute idiot if they lose by 20. I'm going to give them one last shot here, and I'm going to take the Gators in a absolute must-have desperation spot in Miami. I'm going to take the points, Matt, with Sunbelt Billy for a second straight week, and hopefully he doesn't let us down again, which he probably will because he's Sunbelt Billy.
Yeah, if Billy Napier let us down last week, it was just with the play calling, right? Florida threw the ball way too much, didn't run the ball enough. But that game played out about the way I handicapped it and thought it was – I thought Florida's offense was going to have the upper hand. LSU's offense has been underachieving. I know Brian Kelly doesn't like the questions in the press conference, but his offense is underachieving. Right now, you and I played that clip on the show a couple nights ago. Kelly has got to admit that his offense is not really getting it done at the highest level, or at a level it should be right now. Lagway doesn't throw five picks. I mean, LSU was begging Florida to get in the back door and cover that in the fourth quarter, just leaving the door wide open, and they couldn't get in there. So it was frustrating to lose that bet last week in the 10-point loss, but I'm not going to come back with Florida one more time, at least not yet. I'm thinking about it. I'm leaning with the Gators. My concern here is that Miami at home again this week is playing at the highest level. And you wonder about physical and mental fatigue at some point for this Florida team as well. You lose as an 18-point favorite to South Florida, hit the road, go to LSU, hard-fought game, lose by 10. Week after week after week, big games. Then you got Texas and Texas A&M on deck. There's going to be a spot here where I think Florida could pull a big upset, and Florida also is going to get blown out by somebody. But I lean with the Gators after talking in circles there. I lean with the Gators, but I'm not going to play it as of right now. Just still a little bit burned by DJ Lagway's performance last week. The five interceptions is just unforgivable, and the play calling was not great. But back-to-back road spots is not a situation I like to bet into a lot of times. So I'm just going to hold off on this one for now.
Yeah, you'll hold off and wait for me to text you angrily on Saturday night when DJ Lagway throws his third interception of the game and they're down 21 in the first half. But we got to think positively, Matt. It never hurt to be positive. So we will take the points. I will take the points with Florida in, we'll call it Sunbelt Billy's last stand. That'll be the nice one for me. One more game here, Matt, in the opening portion, the main course. And that's a big one. We'll call it the Wes Reynolds Bowl, Illinois at Indiana. I had Wes on the podcast yesterday to preview this game, 7:30 NBC. And how about the betting market? They love some Kirk Cignetti. Right now, Matt, FanDuel and the Westgate Superbook out to 6.5. Six is out there. This has been a steady move towards Indiana all week, and for a third straight week, Matt, the betting market betting against old Bert Bielema and the Fighting Illini. Has this number gone too far with Indiana now up to a 6.5-point favorite at some spots?
It's gone too far for me. I was talking about this game in the offseason, and I had it circled. I was going to play Indiana at right around -3. I was hoping you could lay a field goal with the Hoosiers in this spot because I thought the Illini were going to be a bit overrated. The betting market has got me out of it right now at 6. I think it's – what do we really know about this Kurt Cignetti team right now? We know Fernando Mendoza is a hell of a quarterback, 72.4% completions, 9 touchdowns, no picks. He's been sacked one time in 77 dropbacks so far. Indiana appears to be a pretty well-rounded team. But, Tim, do Do you really know that? We're talking about Texas Tech's schedule, too. Do you really know that after the Hoosiers played Old Dominion and struggled in that game? Kennesaw State and Indiana State. And those last two games, Hoosiers won by a total of 129-9. So I like Indiana, but I wanted to lay a cheaper price. I'll probably live bet this game or maybe even put the Hoosiers on some sort of money line play. I think Indiana grinds out a win, but at six, I can't lay it. I couldn't even lay it at 4.5. I wanted to lay 3, and that was basically my limit.
Yeah, that was the game of the year line. South Point opened up at 3 in favor mm-hmm. of Indiana, and now we've seen a pretty significant movement. You mentioned the strength of schedule. 117 for Indiana through the first couple weeks in that Old Dominion game. Didn't get the cover, but Old Dominion maybe looking a little bit feistier than anticipated as they went in and absolutely curb-stomped Virginia Tech, a lifeless corpse that was Virginia Tech down there at Lane Stadium. Hey, but they got to play Enter Sandman, so I'm sure people were excited about that. Matt, later today on the podcast, I should say, we'll be talking about our good friends, the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. And Rainbow Authentics has been a proud sponsor of the podcast, helped us make our trip out to Hawaii for week 0. They're the official source for game-used apparel, autographs, trading cards for your favorite Hawaii student athletes. Every item tells a story, whether it's a game-worn jersey, a signed ball, or unique collectibles. You're capturing the moment and owning a piece of Hawaii sports history. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted in empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. With exclusive custom gear, like the hat that I wear all the time, Rainbow Authentics also makes sure that you look your best every game day. So find those unique items and also support Hawaii Athletics at rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends Rainbow Authentics, a proud sponsor of the VSIN College Football Betting Podcast. As mentioned, we'll get to Hawaii and Fresno State a little bit later on. But Matt, I know you are out and about. I just envision that you stop by a Chipotle or something like that, threw some hot sauce on a burrito bowl, because you and I love a little spicy food. So let's get to those matchups this weekend.
Caliente! Spicy matchups.
Matt, let's go to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope this was going to be a night game. It'll be an afternoon affair. Michigan at Nebraska. Cornhusker is a team that you've mentioned a number of times. I do have a win total over 7.5 on the Corn. I think their adjusted win total is 8.5, but juiced under right now. So we're kind of right in line and where we expected them to be undefeated heading into this game. For me, not make or break when it came to the win total, but certainly was hoping they could pull this one off. So I'm not going to bet this game, Matt. I would lean towards the dog here as Nebraska catching 2.5 at home. Total sits at 46.5. Sharon Moore will be suspended again for this game, so he'll be out. Biff Poggi will be on the sidelines there. Bryce Underwood was great, albeit in a game against Central Michigan a week ago. Nebraska, Michigan, haven't seen much of Nebraska or much to learn about Nebraska since a rather uninspiring week one win over Cincinnati, Matt. Michigan and the Corn Saturday afternoon, CBS, and the Corn catching 3.5, or 2.5, excuse me.
Right. The last couple weeks, Nebraska has defeated Akron and Houston Christian, so that's about as bad as it gets, Tim. That's really weak last 2 weeks, and not a way to prep you for an opponent like Michigan. At the same time, I was not afraid to bet against the Wolverines when they went to Oklahoma. And I'm not going to lay it with Wolverines here because I'm still not that confident in Bryce Underwood getting it done on the road. Still talking about freshman quarterback who I thought looked pretty bad against the Oklahoma defense, aside from a couple plays a couple of weeks ago. If Nebraska gets this win, you're going to feel great about your win total bet. If they don't, going to be right where we thought the Huskers would be at 3-1 after 4 games. Just simply put, it's not going to be a play for me unless, I get 3 on Nebraska or maybe live bet Nebraska at a better number. I don't see any reason to take 2.5 right now. See no advantage in that. And while we're talking about spicy matchups, Tim, I'll just tell you that why I'm at a hotel. I'm at the M Resort. I'm not too far from you. Where you live and your home office there. And I was, speaking of spicy food, I was at the San Gennaro Feast last night, which is why I'm staying out here. If you get a chance, take your family out there. It's a great time, great food, great fun for the whole family.
All right, Matt, looking out for the family fun. Look at Matt. You know, you're maturing in your years here at VCU.
I don't know about
family
that.
Family fun. Activity there. Well, this might be fun for the family to sit back and watch the points scored in Waco, because Baylor and Sawyer Robertson have been incredible offensively. Defense leaves a lot to be desired. At Arizona State, you and I, one of our favorite bets, I think, of the year so far was Mississippi State catching the points 2 weeks ago down in Stark Vegas. And Mississippi State, albeit made it a little sweaty at the end, got the outright win against Arizona State. Sun Devils catching 2.5 here at Baylor, and this total sitting at 59.5. I would say this, you know, we are a podcast that wants to give out pregame plays, and we all want to do that. We want to have a great record, right? This game, in my opinion, should be a exclusively live betting game from a side standpoint. Now, if you want to play the total over, I mean, there should be points to be had in this game, Matt. I love Sawyer Robertson. I've been wildly impressed by him this year. You could argue that he's been the best quarterback so far this year. You mentioned John Mateer, this dual threat ability, Sawyer Robertson, and that comeback against SMU on the road. But it's hard for me to lay points with Baylor right now just because of that defense. Total as high as 60 in some spots. Night game down in Waco, Baylor, Arizona State. This game will be on Fox.
Yeah, I've got one total on my card this week, and I'm not going to lie. I looked at this one and thought about adding this as a best bet, and I might eventually get there, but over 59.5 would be the only way I would play this game. And it looks like it's going to be a Wild West shootout in Waco in this one, Tim, because not a lot of defense being played on the Bears. Dave Aranda, at one point, you remember when Dave Aranda was considered an elite defensive coordinator in college football when he was at LSU? What's happened to his Baylor defenses? So, Sawyer Robertson has played. You're right, should put him in that class with John Mateer and Carson Beck and some of the guys who are playing the best QB position right now. So it would be over or nothing for me if I do play this.
Yeah, I'm not a big player prop guy, but man, if you look at Jordan Tyson, you would imagine he's going to have a big game there for Arizona State, the go-to receiver for the Sun Devils. And I know we had Ben Stevens, one of our newest colleagues at VSiN on VSiN Primetime. He liked team total over on Arizona State, so take that for what you will. But I think this one should be fun. A lot of swings and a lot of opportunities to bet this one in-game in that primetime slot, on Fox. You know, Matt, as the week goes on, sometimes you get a little cooler on plays, and that's what's happened here. This is not going to be a best bet for me. I do have a bet in pocket on principle for Memphis, but I'm not in love with this play as much as I was. The market is kind of betting up Arkansas. It's a classic sandwich spot. Arkansas last week in a thriller lost to Ole Miss. Next week, they host Notre Dame down in Fayetteville. I know our guy Matt Grissom is all geeked up. He told me Arkansas is going to win outright. So best of luck to your woo pig suey down there for that one. But this is a 11 a.m. local kick at the Liberty Bowl. Memphis and Arkansas, two regional rivals, if you will. What I've been impressed by, Matt, is Talen Green. You and I watched him a lot when he was at Boise State, and him and Bobby Petrino seem to be on the same page. He has been really impressive so far this year. So, yes, I do have a small bet on Memphis in just principle for a situational spot, but I'm not going to give it out as a best bet because I got questions about, you know, Brendan Lewis, the Nevada transfer, as Memphis's QB, and they lost a lot, Memphis did, from a year ago. Seth Hennigan was a record-setting quarterback down there. I feel like he played about 55 football games. And Talen Green, how about his numbers this year, Matt? He's completing 68% of his passes, 11 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's run for 307 yards so far this year. And last week against Ole Miss, he ran for a buck 15. So the defense, it feels like, can be had a bit for Arkansas, but not an official play. Small play on Memphis from the situation, but I've been impressed by Arkansas. And I think if I had to guess, Matt, that look-ahead line being 6.5, I got to imagine Arkansas is going to be tempting for you next week when they're a home dog against the Irish.
Well, we'll see about that. I'll think about that after I watch these two teams this week, Arkansas, Memphis, and Notre Dame hosting Purdue. But I will say that Taylen Green's getting some good coaching. He's in a really good offensive system right now, and that's how you develop quarterbacks, right? So you can't always think that your first read or your first scout on a quarterback is what he's always going to be. He's much better. He was always had talent. I think now he's just getting the coaching and he's in the right offense. And he looks really, really good. You said it. I think you said it best. If you're playing Memphis here, it's because you're playing the situational handicapping spot. You got to be a little bit concerned about Memphis being outmatched in some areas in this game. But from looking at it, and I'm a situational handicapper first and foremost, you look at it, and this would be something you would look at for a Memphis play. There's no doubt about it. It's not on my card, but believe me, I have considered it this week because this is one of those classic sandwich spots with the Fighting Irish on deck for Arkansas. But I don't think, Tim, here's the thing. I don't think the Hogs are going to overlook this Memphis game at all.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I think regionally, knowing the proximity to these programs, I think they certainly won't overlook it. And we'll see with Memphis. I'm not the biggest Silverfield fan, the head coach of Memphis,
right.
But we'll see. 7.5 is the number. Staying in that noon window, Matt, ESPN2, we've got the battle for the Iron Skillet as TCU and SMU play. And I thought our friend Brett McMurphy, America's Insider, had some good quotes from Rhett Lashley. Matt, this is the 104th and final scheduled game between SMU and TCU. And Rhett Lashley told Brett McMurphy, quote, "It wasn't our decision. They chose not to play us anymore." So feels like there's not a lot of love lost between these two programs as they meet for the final time. I love a good rivalry game. We can have a discussion another day about how much all of these changes to college football have ruined some of the classic rivalries. I initially looked at SMU a little bit here. The market loves TCU. I see a 7.5 showing now at FanDuel. I do think the fact that SMU scored 66 a year ago on TCU is definitely going to play in Sonny Dykes' mind. And if he has the chance to put on some points, he will. SMU blew that lead, as we talked about already, to Baylor. Very sleepy spot last week going to Missouri State. They win 28-10. I know Kevin Jennings, the quarterback for SMU, is a little bit dinged up. So no play for me. Love a good rivalry game. Love a rivalry where clearly the coaches don't really love each other. Sonny Dykes, once upon a time, was the head coach of SMU. But I think I would be, I'm going to say on the sidelines here, another high total, by the way, 64.5. So you probably could get a pretty good in-game number in that early window on Saturday.
Think about all the great college football traditions that are blown up or might be blown up. The Pac-12 at the top of the list, right? The Pac-12 conference being blown up. Looks like the Notre Dame-USC football rivalry might go by the wayside. Tim, the Iron Skillet, if that does not continue, that would be a severe casualty for college football. Seriously, I think this is a complicated handicap of this game. I'm going to stay away from this one.
All right, let's go to a game, Matt, where I'm very curious to see how this one plays out. Tulane has now two Power 4 wins to their name, albeit against Northwestern and Duke. But that was an emotional game last week. They were able to beat the Blue Devils in that Darian Mensah return game. And now you get an opportunity to go on the road to take on Ole Miss. And we're still waiting to hear the injury report for Austin Simmons. Is he going to play in this game? He was the emergency backup quarterback a week ago. He was thrust into action, threw a touchdown when there was a slight injury there. But how about Trinidad Chambliss, Matt? 21 of 29, 353, a touchdown. He also ran for 62 yards and two touchdowns. The Ferris State transfer. This dude played some good ball last week, Matt. So Ole Miss, I'm not going to say it's they're not missing Austin Simmons, but man, their backup seemed pretty capable in this spot. And Tulane coming off of back, two good wins so far to start the year. This number sitting at 12.5, 3:30 kickoff on ESPN. Any interest in the dog here with Tulane heading to Oxford?
Tim, do you think Tulane really misses Darian Mensa because Jake Retzlaff is playing exceptionally well?
Yep.
You know, so the Green Wave doing just fine after that quarterback transfer. So I got a friend, Bobby Buckets Brubeck. You know Buckets from Austin, Texas. Sure. He loves Tulane in this game, and he was touting Tulane at 11.5. And I said, look, if you go to DraftKings right now, you get 13.5 on Tulane. I was looking at the screen, Tim, right before we started the show. I have noticed, like you said, Auburn is up to 7 in some spots. Right below that on the rotation, 355. Looks like DraftKings is showing 13.5 on Tulane. So, yeah, I would be interested in the Green Wave in this spot. How about Lane Kiffin and his quarterbacks? At Jackson Dart, no drop-off or not much of a drop-off to what he's got so far this season. I think this is the type of spot where I would play Tulane or pass. And I will consider taking the 13.5 here with the Green Wave. It's not on my best bet list right now, but this is one of those games I'll be looking at over the next couple of days.
And you could say this is a little bit of a sandwich spot too, Matt, where you've got Arkansas, great game last week. They go to the backup quarterback. He plays exceptionally well. They win 41-35. And guess who they play next week? LSU. Yep. Look ahead line right now, LSU -1.5. So a little bit of a situational angle, certainly, if you want to look at that for Tulane on the road there, catching double digits. So, yeah, I could be talked into Tulane, and let's see where the market goes. How high does it go? I doubt we get anywhere near 14, but 12.5, 13 out there could be something to look at for the Tulane Green Wave. Matt, you and I love the late-night games, and the late game, of course, will be Hawaii and Fresno State, which we'll get to close out the show. But at 11 p.m. Eastern in L.A., USC will be taking on Michigan State. And this number, look ahead, was 14.5. It's now up to 18.5 here with USC taking on Michigan State. Jonathan Smith, when he was at Oregon State, Matt, used to thrive in this underdog role. But USC's kind of been a bit of a bully so far this year. Total sitting at 56 out there in the market. And I know you mentioned already that the total was something you were eyeing up.
I am, and I like the late starts a little bit better when you're playing overs. And 56.5 is the number I bet it at this morning. Just wanted to double check because I don't play a lot of totals, but I played this one. I'll tell you why. Michigan State's offense showing a little bit of life here the last couple weeks. So if the Spartans can get some points on the board, I think this could be a shootout. And I like the 8 p.m. kickoff in L.A. because unlike what we see in Salt Lake City, you don't have to be concerned about teams sleepwalking a little bit in the first half when you have those early kickoff times at night. Typically, the crowd's juiced and you Pac-12 after dark, right, Tim? Yeah, you get some high-scoring, wild games, and I think that's what could happen here. So when I watched USC against Purdue last week, very impressed with the Trojans offensively. Jacoby Lane, some big-time wide receivers. Jaden Maiava is really developing as a quarterback. I think Lane Kiffin. Lincoln Riley's doing some good work with Maiava, the former UNLV transfer. He's not being as careless with the ball as he was when he was younger. So it's interesting that USC never was forced to punt in that game against Purdue. Now, they did get backed up and had to attempt some field goals, but never scored a touchdown in the second half either. But that was a weird game, delayed by over 3 hours by lightning and weather. And both teams, I thought, left a lot of points off the board. I mean, Purdue had 3 turnovers in the red zone, right? And USC, like I said, settled for field goals when they could have cashed in for more and still hit 50 points, Tim, 33-17. I thought you could have seen 70 points in that game last week. And I think there's a good chance you're going to see this game turn into a shootout as well. Very impressed with USC offense, defensive front. And I think the Trojans are legit. No way I'm laying this big number. If I did anything here, I would take the dog. But as of right now, I'm playing this over.
Yeah, and you look ahead, USC opened up at DraftKings as a 1.5-point road favorite next week at Illinois. So we'll see what that number ultimately does based off of these two teams' performances this upcoming weekend. Matt, let's run through the best of the rest. We've got a bunch of bets still to get to. We'll do these in chronological order, and we'll just kind of give some quick hitters here. Maryland at Wisconsin. This is a win total I have under on the Badgers. I did see a couple of folks. I mentioned this earlier in the show, or earlier in the week. Kyle Hunter, a handicapper that I trust, likes Maryland adjusted win total under 5.5. This market has been betting this Wisconsin team like they know the outcome of this game, and the success of Mike Loxley as an underdog in the Big Ten has not been great. Total at 44, number up to 10 here. Curious to see. This is another situation, Matt, where you get a true freshman making his first road start. Maryland's played 3 home games. So does Malik Washington struggle a bit? Maybe you look at a team total under on Maryland in this particular spot. This one, noon on NBC. So that could be a look there. We don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Badgers, Matt, as Billy Edwards continues to deal with that injury. And ironically enough, maybe not getting the same fanfare as the revenge game for Jackson Arnold. This is Billy Edwards versus his former team. And I know you and I were not really thrilled with the decision there from Wisconsin. So low total, double-digit spread. Anything on Maryland, Wisconsin?
I would have something on Wisconsin if I had the best number, but I don't, and it's too late to get in on the Badgers here. Little Danny O'Neill, a quarterback, the former San Diego State transfer who played high school football in Indianapolis. He's a good, gutsy quarterback, but not the type of guy I really want to lay doubles with here. I think the sharp bettors already got the best number in the market.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people over at VSiN.com already throw Wisconsin in. Also in that noon window, Matt, ESPN, you and I played the clip of Dabo on VSiN Primetime earlier this week. He's out there cutting a promo saying, hey, if you want to get rid of me, get rid of me. Is that good? Is that good? 7 playoff appearances in 10 years, 8 ACC championships, Matt. I'm always interested to see how teams respond. You think back to the Tyler from Spartanburg, totally real call, wasn't planted at all, to his radio show, which does not exist anymore. They play Syracuse, who I think stinks. I don't think Syracuse is a very good football team. I think they'll go under their win total. That was one of my favorite plays of the season. But the numbers actually come down a little bit, Matt. And, you know, we can almost lump this into the Notre Dame game. You know, how does Clemson respond to 2 early season losses when the preseason expectations were for this team to run through the ACC and maybe win a national championship? So Clemson's down to 16.5. Is this a buy low spot on Clemson, or is this just a full on stay away? Who knows what's going to show up at noon on Saturday down there in Death Valley?
I don't have a lot of faith in this Clemson team right now, but I don't want to bet against them in this spot because, like you said, we played that clip of Dabo this week. Is that good? Is that good? What do you think? Is that good? He is backed against the wall right now, and I think this Clemson team would come out firing, if anything, but I'm going to stay away from this game.
All right, let's stay in the noon window, and you and I both have a play on this one. Unfortunately, as we record this on Thursday, we like to give out numbers as they sit, and this number is not as good as it was earlier this week. Saw some sharp money come in on the home dog in this spot. How about UNLV, Matt, traveling to Oxford, Ohio to take on Miami of Ohio? This number 2.5 right now. Total seen a little bit of over money come in, looking at 49.5, 50 out there. You and I have a common play here. I'll let you start off with your analysis on Miami hosting UNLV.
Tim, a lot of times handicappers think bye week is always a good thing. Team gets rested and they're going to come out ready to fire. I think the bye came at the wrong time for UNLV. The Rebels were 3-0, playing well. You got to take a week off. I don't like that. So there's a couple factors here. One is the body clock game, and 2 is the post-bye situation, I think are negative things for the Rebels. Look, Dan Mullen's got this offense playing pretty well right now. But, you know, that win over UCLA, not all that impressive when you look back on it and see the Bruins got trashed at home by New Mexico a week after that. I think when you look at this Miami team, it's kind of hard to get on that side, because when you really break it down, you're like, boy, this is ugly. I don't know if I can do this. I think you have to trust the spot. I think you have to trust the spot. The Rebels in a negative situation, out of the bye, on the road in an early game in the Eastern time zone. And also, I think the Rebels probably feeling like they're better than they really are, which is kind of my point about, you know, who they played here early in the season. I took Miami here. Number was 3.5. It's dropped to 2.5 at most spots. You got to get to 3, though, with a bad team like the home dog you're playing here. I always want to get the field goal. I don't want to take the 2.5. So I actually played Miami at +3 -125.
Yeah, and I think that's the play I'm going to give out, too. I did grab some early 3 on Miami. Missed the 3.5, which I would have loved to have. But I have some money line, too. I think Miami wins this game. And you mentioned about UNLV, and they had a really poor performance week 0 against Idaho State. We forgave that because they beat Sam Houston in a soccer stadium the following week. And then they beat UCLA. Well, both of those wins have aged very poorly, as New Mexico absolutely embarrassed UCLA the following week, and Sam Houston, I don't think, has won a game since. Mm-hmm. So UNLV, 129 in strength of schedule. But as you mentioned, Miami is not a world beater. They got shut out in week 1 against Wisconsin, had just 117 yards. They had a little more success offensively against Rutgers, but still lost by 4 touchdowns. I do like Daquan Finn as their quarterback, the transfer from Toledo and Baylor prior to that, but I think this spot, I'm going to trust in a veteran head coach in Chuck Martin. I think the time, as you mentioned, is a great spot too to bet on Miami. They're coming off a bye as well, so I'll join you, Miami. I think they win this game outright, but let's get the 3, buy up to the 3, even though I know you and I don't like to love to buy points. Matt, speaking of Notre Dame, Chuck Martin, or speaking of former Notre Dame coaches, Chuck Martin was once upon a time there on Brian Kelly's staff. Notre Dame 0-2, Matt, as they lose to Texas A&M 41-40. Heartbreaker there for the Irish. Jubilation for Texas A&M as they get a big road win. I think their first road win over a ranked team, I want to say, since 2014. And now you've got Purdue coming into town. And there are some similarities, Matt, to last year. Now, Texas A&M is a little bit better than Northern Illinois, but last year Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, played Purdue, and the betting market was going nuts on Purdue. That number closed 7. Notre Dame won the game 66-7. And now you've got Barry Odom's squad coming in to take on maybe an angry Notre Dame team, but I'll tell you what, I'm not laying that number with the Irish right now. The defense has a lot to get fixed with Chris Ash, who I think is looking like an absolute disastrous hire by Marcus Freeman to replace Al Golden. So maybe over, even though we've seen some under money come in. Maybe you get an angry Notre Dame team. I hope you do. But I'm curious your thoughts on this one. Purdue with Barry Odom heading to South Bend for this spot.
Yeah, I consider playing this over 52.5. Like I said, I think the Purdue defense got a little bit fortunate last week, not giving up more points to USC than the 33. And this Irish offense is going to be tough to stop as well. And it's the second year in a row Purdue's catching the Irish at exactly the wrong time. And last year it resulted in the most lopsided game in the history of this series, which is going back about 100 years. So, Tim, it's a different Purdue team because Barry Odom has really turned things around in terms of you can just tell when you watch a well-coached team, you can see it right away. Just in the organization and the play calling and the discipline of the players on the field. And Barry Odom has, I'm going to say, done a 180 with this program. A year ago, Purdue was a Mickey Mouse operation, an absolute joke with Ryan Walters as coach. It was embarrassing to watch. Even if you weren't a Purdue fan or follow Purdue, it was embarrassing to see a team that was that bad, that poorly coached. And Odom has turned things around. Now, Ryan Brown, a quarterback, still young. He's still making mistakes. Like you say, he had 3 red zone turnovers last week against USC. Purdue was driving with a chance to cut that game to 6 points late when Brown telegraphed a pass out on the left flat and it got picked off. So I think this Purdue team can be competitive. But at the same time, you're catching Notre Dame at the exact wrong time. And I'm going to give you a score here. I'm going to say Irish 48, to 17. I think we're going to see a blowout here in South Bend.
Yeah, and you think about the look-ahead line, too. Notre Dame was 30.5 last week, and now 25.5. They got down to 24.5, so big adjustment there. Matt, I'm going to rattle off back-to-back plays here. We'll go SEC Network 415. A couple of ugly dogs, so hold your nose, and we'll see if we can get there. I'm going to take Northern Illinois. Speaking of the Irish a year ago, I'm going to take Northern Illinois in that underdog role. They're going to take on the Cowbells, and hopefully the Cowbells will be quiet. We don't need them, you know, going loud like they were against Arizona State. Mississippi State has Tennessee on deck here, Matt. Last week they played Alcorn State, and I just think Thomas Hammack, this is what he does. He loves this role as the underdog. I know they lost a lot of pieces from last year's squad that shocked the world with the 28-point underdog outright win. But I want to run through a little bit of history of NIU as a big underdog here, Matt. Earlier this year, 16.5-point dog at Maryland, lost 20-9. Last year, 28-point dog to Notre Dame, outright win 16-14. 7-point dog to NC State, lost by 7. In 2023, Matt, 8-point dog to Boston College, won the game outright. 11.5-point dog to Nebraska, they lost that game, did not cover, lost 35-11. In 2022, Matt, they were a 27-point underdog to Kentucky, lost by 8. And then in 2021, 18.5-point dog to Georgia Tech and won the game outright. So I expect Thomas Hammack with a week to prepare, as they had a bye week last week. They'll ugly this thing up. I think Mississippi State might be looking ahead a little bit. So market's moving up on Mississippi State. So maybe I'm on the wrong side here, but I took 21.5 with NIU. And then the next one, Matt, I'm going back to the well. They let us down last week with a dud, but I'm going to take Temple here. They're a 24-point underdog at Georgia Tech. Brent Key has done an amazing job in an underdog role. He's now 9-3 ATS with 5 outright wins against ranked teams there at Georgia Tech. But this is such a massive letdown spot when you think about how they played last week. So two ugly dogs, NIU plus 21.5, 22, and Temple plus 24. Two back-to-back plays here, Matt, as hopefully Temple can do better than getting outgained 515-104 like they did last week against Oklahoma.
Tim, that Oklahoma-Temple game was on TV. It was the replay was on last night, and I couldn't bear to watch 2 minutes of it. I was still ticked off about being on Temple last week, and I've had my fill of the Owls. I'm not going to play them here. I do like your play on Northern Illinois. See 22.5 out there at Circa right now. I don't see a 23 on the board, but that's one I'm going to be watching the next couple days too. I think your handicap of that is on the money, and that's one big dog I do want to play this week is NIU, but let's see if we can get 23 on that by kickoff on a Saturday afternoon. It's possible. I mean, even if 23 doesn't show up, I might still take 22.5 on the Huskies there.
You know, Matt, last week we were walking into the studio for primetime, and you looked at me because I think I had just tweeted out the DraftKings look-ahead numbers, and you said, why is Missouri only a 3-point favorite against South Carolina? Right. Well, you were on to something. Obviously, Lenora Sellers got dinged up. His status is up in the air. Pete Thamel said it's trending positively. But that number now sits 10.5, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Matt. Missouri, a team that you were all over preseason, and you look smart so far. Ahmad Hardy has been amazing, the transfer from UL Monroe. Bo Prabula, look, I didn't know what to expect from him. He looks like a legit starting quarterback. How about this number, Matt? 10.5 now for Missouri against South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the number. Not that I'm going to lay it here, but Bo Prabula at Penn State showed me enough where I thought he was going to be a really effective quarterback for Missouri if he won that job. So far, he's got 76% completion, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick. Obviously, I like the way he can run. He had not done a lot of running so far. But Ahmad Hardy was the national freshman rushing leader last year in college football. And so far, 8 yards per carry for this Tigers offense. Going to start to face better defenses, and some of these inflated numbers for quarterbacks and running backs are going to start to come down. But again, Ahmad Hardy's a real deal, and Bo Prabula and some of these transfers that were brought in here are making a real difference for Missouri. I like this Tigers team a lot. That doesn't mean I want to lay this number here. I should have laid the three last week, and you and I were talking about it after. I said, that's ridiculous. Missouri's got to be more than a three-point favorite in that game, but I didn't lay it at the time, so I got some regret about not making that bet. But feeling pretty good about the Missouri win total, and especially if you look at the schedule for the Tigers, they're 3-0 coming up with South Carolina, UMass, and a home game against Alabama, which Tide's still going to be favored there, Tim, but that's going to be – I feel a lot better about Missouri's chances of winning that home game and starting 6-0 than I did before the season.
Matt, you would think that I would be in on Georgia State this week in a classic spot to go against Vanderbilt. They thrive in that favorite or underdog role, not so much as a favorite, but – I'm going to stay on the sidelines here for this one. Georgia State against Vanderbilt, 7:30 ESPNU. Vanderbilt into the top 25. I know Wes Reynolds likes this spot. It's now 28.5. Maybe I'll take a little piece of Georgia State here. But there is the revenge angle. Georgia State, remember, beat Vanderbilt a year ago, 36-32. And Vanderbilt not really looking ahead. I think next week, Matt, when Bronco Mendenhall and the Utah State Aggies head to Vanderbilt, I think that could be a good spot to go against the Commodores with Alabama waiting in the wings. But Vanderbilt's been very impressive so far. The second half against Virginia Tech, that was a best bet, I believe, from you on Vandy. And then last week, really, even with the Lenora Sellers injury, they were a dominant force against South Carolina. So on the sidelines here, but I think certainly a good situational spot. I think the revenge angle has me staying off Vandy here as they welcome Georgia State to town.
Yeah, no play for me on this game, and we can move on.
All right, I'll hit on one more, and then we've got two common plays to wrap up the podcast here. 7:30 Eastern, Matt. I'm going to bet East Carolina. This was the first bet of the week for me. East Carolina plus 7.5. And right now, as we look at the market, I don't know if there's any sevens. Let's see if they show back up. But I was doing the show on Monday night with Will Hill, VSiN Primetime, and the two plays that I discussed, we'll hit on one here in a little bit, but the other was East Carolina as a 7.5-point home dog against BYU, Matt. And BYU's a team that, once again, we don't know what they are yet. They played Portland State and they played Stanford. They won both comfortably, but I really like what I've seen from East Carolina so far this year. They shut out a terrible Coastal Carolina team a week ago, but they have a veteran quarterback in Hauser, the transfer from Michigan State. I think what we've seen from ECU in the start of the Blake Harrell era down there, as he filled in, mid-season last year on an interim basis, got the head job. And then once again, we've talked about this, Matt, the true freshman making his first road start. This is a tricky travel spot from Provo down to Greenville, North Carolina. I think this will be a really good atmosphere. I think it'll be very raucous down there. And East Carolina likes to play this role of kind of the underdog, whether it be against any of the big North Carolina schools. So hopefully we get back to seven, but I'm going to take some East Carolina money line here. I think ECU could win this game outright against BYU. I just don't think we know what this BYU team is yet, and Bear Bachmeyer has not really shown a ton, Matt, as a true freshman quarterback. And also worth noting, a little bit of a weird spot outside of the travel with Colorado waiting in the wings there the following week coming to Provo. And regardless of the record for Colorado and whether or not they could figure out who the hell is going to play quarterback as they're going back to Caden Salter, it's still Coach Prime. It's still going to bring a lot of eyeballs to that game. So I think ECU in a pretty good spot here. Hopefully we can get the seven if you have to buy up to seven. But I think East Carolina could ultimately win this game outright, Matt. So let's hit the two late night games here. And we'll start with our beloved Cal Golden Bears, Matt. You and I love this spot against Minnesota. The market started to bet Minnesota a little bit late last week, but our boys out there in Berkeley took care of business. And JKS, once again, rookie of the week in the ACC, Matt. Cal taking on San Diego State. I heard a national analyst say maybe Cal could make the college football playoff, believe it or not, So are we getting a little bit too fat and happy with Jaron Chiave, Sangapulateli, and the Cal Golden Bears?
Okay. Mentioning that Cal could be a possible playoff team is ridiculous. That's not going to happen. You know, I like this Cal team, and the Golden Bears are 3-0, but come on, you got to get a grip on reality. That's reckless to throw that kind of prediction out there. I do like him as a quarterback, but I even think this number is a little bit reckless here. I know San Diego State looked pretty bad. The Aztecs' last outing, the betting market loves San Diego State. I think you were on them, Tim, right, at Washington
was.
State?
Huh? That was gross.
There was a lot of support in the betting market for San Diego State in that game, and they got blown out. Now, all of a sudden, this number popping up at 12.5 or 13. I'm seeing 13 at the Westgate Superbook. I was hesitant to take 12.5 because when you're sitting on that brink of a key number, you just want to wait to see if it gets there. So I'm going to have Wyatt, our producer, change this play. We should do that to San Diego State plus 13. The Westgate Superbook's got that number there. I'm going to play it, Tim. As soon as we get off this podcast, I'm taking that number. I actually think the Aztecs are a little bit better than they're giving credit for here. And this is a late – not that there's a lot of home field advantage to talk about with the Aztecs, because it's 7:30 p.m. kickoff with this team off to a disappointing start. You're not going to get a great crowd out there at Snapdragon Stadium. But I do think the Aztecs are getting a little bit disrespected with this number, 12.5 and now 13. And Cal, as much as I like the Golden Bears and Jaron Chiave, Sangapulateli, I liked them a lot more last week when they were home dogs. And Tim, when you're a handicapper, there's one thing, one of many things you look for. And one of those things is when a team is a home dog one week and wins and then goes on the road the next week as a double-digit favorite, that's a bet-against type of situation. And that's why Cal's in here. Wins as a home dog last week and now on the road as a big favorite. Now I'll pass on that. Give me the points with the Aztecs, who I think are better than what they showed in that blowout loss at Washington State, because I believe in the coach. I think he'll whip this team into shape, at least enough to cover this number this week.
Yeah, Sean Lewis, you get a bye week here to prep up for this. Everybody loving on Cal. Understandably so. You and I have been high on this team. Well, I'll say this, full transparency. I bet against them week one, and I knew I was a dead loser as soon as the market bet that thing the way that they did. I didn't know what to expect from JKS, and he's been great so far this year. That muff punt was massive for us late in the game at 17-14. And Cal's punting the ball back to Minnesota. Minnesota muffs it inside their own 10-yard line. Cal's able to score a touchdown there and salt the game away. They were actually just plus 5 in yardage, but plus 2 in turnover margin. So not taking anything away. We were very happy to be on that side last week with Cal getting the victory. But it does feel like this number is a bit elevated. How about this?
Hey, Tim,
Justin Wilcox,
go ahead. I was going to follow up on what you were saying there. I was going to mention that, too. In the box score, 340 to 335 in total yards, and Cal had only 61 yards rushing. So it's not like Cal dominated that game offensively, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And look, you and I have been doing this podcast now for 4 seasons. We've been betting college football for a long time. Justin Wilcox as an underdog is a great bet. 31-20-1 as an underdog now against the spread, Matt. But as a favorite, he's below 500, 19-23-1 as a favorite. So there's just something about Justin Wilcox, gets the best out of his team in that underdog role, especially a home dog role. But from a situational standpoint, I'm with you. San Diego State, I think they were embarrassed by the performance up in the Palouse against Washington State. So, yeah, give me the points. I took 12.5 because I didn't know where we would go with that. As you mentioned, Westgate right now on this Thursday has moved out to 13. All right, let's wrap it, Matt, with a game out west. We always love talking the Hawaii game, and all the Hawaii games here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast are proudly sponsored by Nahoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Each piece is inspired by the beauty and traditions of the islands, crafted crafted by Hawaiian gold and also lustrous pearls and rare gemstones. Nahoku designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments, from special keepsake to an engagement ring or simply a gift that captures the spirit of the Aloha spirit. With over 30 locations, Matt, it's not just in Hawaii. They've got locations on the mainland. You can check them out online, nahoku.com. Nahoku, mahalo to our friends out there. Steve Bookatz, our good friend, a proud sponsor of this podcast, as well as the Hawaii game. It's a big one, Matt. It's a rivalry, 57th meeting all time between Hawaii and Fresno State. It is Hawaii's longest standing rivalry, which might come to a close, Matt, because Fresno State is moving on to the Pac-12. They've played since 1938. Right now, Hawaii sitting as a 3-point home underdog against the Fresno State Bulldogs.
Yep, and this is another game I was waiting to play. You don't want to take the 2.5 when you think a 3 might pop up and it's midweek. Well, this morning I was looking and the 3's popped up here, so I'll take it with Hawaii. Similar to last week, I didn't think Cal should have been a home dog to Minnesota at that number, 2.5 or 3. I don't think Hawaii should be a home dog to Fresno at this number, 2.5 or 3. And hey, look, these head coaches were both in studio with us at the VSIN studio at Circa in July, Matt Entz of Fresno State and Timmy Chang of Hawaii. Tim, we know both these coaches. And I like Matt Entz a lot. I think he used to be a home run hire at Fresno. He would probably, if you sat down with him right now, he'd tell you, hey, man, it's been a nice start so far, but we got a long way to go with this team. And E.J. Warner, the quarterback, the numbers look pretty good so far. 72% completions, 4 touchdowns, but Tim, he's thrown 5 picks, and he has been a turnover-prone quarterback. The strength of the Bulldogs so far have been their rushing attack. Bryson Donaldson, Rayshon Luke, those guys power a running attack that might remind you a little bit of Stanford, and the Stanford ground game that gave the Hawaii defensive front some problems, and that's one thing that does concern me a little bit about this. Fresno averaging 5.7 yards per carry so far. But as you mentioned, Mike Alahato's back, and I think Hawaii's just a little bit more explosive offensively. And it's always a tough travel spot for a team going to the islands. That's why Hawaii's been such a good home dog in Honolulu over the years and typically the play for me. Now, when I match these teams up, yeah, I'm concerned about Fresno's running attack, but I think it's pretty obvious what Hawaii's got to focus on defensively here. And maybe they're a little bit one-dimensional. I like this Hawaii offense, more ways to beat you. And I'll take the points here. I'll take 3, and I'm expecting Hawaii to win the game. I have some Hawaii money line action here, too. Tim, I'll be surprised if we're wrong about this. And if we're wrong, I think it will be because Micah Alahato comes back from injury and is just not himself. Because if he's himself, I think the Rainbow Warriors got to win this game.
Yeah, Hawaii hoping for not only Mike Alahato, he's not even on the injury report, so he's good to go. He's playing. He's going to be the starter. Hoping for a couple of receivers back, Jackson Harris, as well as Nick Senecal, and their center, Ethan Spencer, hoping to be back as well. All 3 of those guys missed the Portland State game. You mentioned as a home dog, how about under Timmy Chang? He's been the head coach of his alma mater since 2022, Matt. 16-6 ATS at home since 2022. 10-5 ATS as a home dog. And look, this is a massive spot for Hawaii. If they want to get to a bowl game, you know, the people we talked to out there said, look, we need to get back to a bowl game. We need to be in that Hawaii Bowl on Christmas Eve. And the concern is valid, what you pointed out. Fresno State loves to run the football. Bryson Donaldson is a very good running back, had 167 yards on the ground against Georgia Southern. As a team, they ran for 351 yards in that game, Matt. But the thing that I would say about Fresno State, Matt, that is worth noting here. They've got a win over Oregon State. That is a wildly misleading box score. Yeah. They were outgained 528 to 318 in that game, and they won it. They scored a late, I believe, a kicked the late field goal and then got a pick six. Oregon State, how about this, Matt? Threw for 388 yards in that game. So hopefully Hawaii is able to do that here on Saturday night with our guy Kanoa Leahy on the call. That postgame win expectancy for Fresno State was just 30% against Oregon State, that game they won 36-27. So I think if it plays the way that we hope it does, Hawaii is able to have a lot of success through the air, Matt. And if Fresno State's able to control the ground game, which remember, Stanford did for a little bit in that season opener, that's where it could be certainly concerning regarding this Hawaii-Fresno game. But yes, this is going to be a fun one. Midnight Eastern Matt, the Mountain West app, and also on Spectrum Sports. So, right, if you have the Dodgers package, you'll get this game as well, I think.
Yeah, I am not going to hype the Mountain West app like you are, because the last time I tried to watch a game on the Mountain West app, I couldn't find the game anywhere. But DirecTV, Channel 691, Spectrum Sports had the Hawaii football game a couple of weeks ago, so that's where I plan to watch it. Or at the Circus Sportsbook. I'll watch it Saturday night.
It'll be on there. I want to wrap with this, Matt. Before we get to our best bets, let's do a little history lesson here on the Hawaii-Fresno State rivalry. There's an urban legend surrounding these two programs that there was a screwdriver thrown toward June Jones after Hawaii's October 25th win in 2022 against Fresno State. June Jones claimed that he saw a screwdriver being thrown over his head from a Fresno State student section and falling on the field. But Fresno State, Matt, did an investigation, never saw anything. And then a week later, the AD for Fresno State did issue an apology saying, quote, "We believe that a screwdriver was thrown by one of our fans towards the Utah, the Hawaii team bench. The alleged incident inspired a, quote, golden screwdriver trophy being entered into the contest. And Nick Rolovich expressed approval when he was the coach back in 2016. So this may or may not be the battle for the golden screwdriver, Matt. Fresno State and Hawaii. Late night, and both you and I on Hawaii. All right, Matt, let's do what we do to close up the podcast. We've been talking for about an hour. Let's sum it up here with our best bet recap.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt. Lay it on us. Run through your best bets.
Okay, I might end up adding a bunch of plays this week, but I'm going to go with five best bets as of right now. And, Tim, these are going to be split up a couple in the morning. Let's hope for the best on Saturday morning. And then we got some late-night plays as well. So starting out with Miami of Ohio plus +3, home dog against UNLV. Utah laying +3 to Texas Tech in Salt Lake City. Then we go with three night games. San Diego State go plus +12.5, 13 has popped up now. So Aztecs as home double-digit home dogs. Hawaii as a three-point home dog. And how about that 8 p.m. kickoff in L.A.? Let's go Michigan State, USC, over 56. So 2-2 last week, 9-7 on the season. Hopefully a winning week here. But I probably will have a much bigger card. We talked about several of the games throughout this podcast, but I got five as of now. I might have at least 10 or more plays by Saturday.
All right, my official plays, Matt, a lot of dogs, a lot of ugly dogs. We're going to go Miami of Ohio, not the Canes. We'll take the points there. If you can't get the three, buy up to three. I do think Miami wins this game, but as you mentioned, I thought you put it very well. When you're taking a dog like Miami, you're going to want that insurance at three. Another ugly dog, I'm going against the U. I'm going to take Florida. Eights are out there right now, so we'll call it eight for grading purposes. Florida plus the eight. East Carolina, Matt, my first bet of the week. I took 7.5 with ECU. Right now, 6.5. Let's see if we can get the 7. Let's grade it at 7. So let's see if we get that 7 here at some point. But I do think ECU worth maybe a little look on the money line. Two ugly dogs in a situational spot. Let's take NIU, Northern Illinois, plus I bet it at 21.5. You can get 22.5. Matt, you pointed out, maybe wait. Maybe you get a 23. So let's wait on that one. Temple plus +24. I did see some money come in on the Owls early on Thursday. So if you can't get the 24, I would wait. I imagine you'll get a little buyback there on Georgia Tech. San Diego State plus 12.5 is what I bet it at. 13's available now. And Hawaii plus the three, Matt. So those are my seven plays. 4-2 last week, 9-9 on the season, trying to dig out of that crappy week one. We didn't give out our week zero plays. We did have good week zeros. We both had Hawaii on the money line. But 9-9 on the season, 4-2 last week, back-to-back winning weeks, and hopefully we can continue to keep it rolling here, Matt. That's going to do it for the podcast, Matt. Any parting words on week four?
Let's find some winners, Tim, and tell you the truth, no parting words, because we've been doing this for over an hour and it's lunchtime and I can't wait to go eat lunch. So
there you go. We'll eat some lunch. Matt and I will be on VSiN Primetime Thursday night. I'll be back Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Time for the College Football Tailgate Show. And as always, Friday night, the Circa Friday Football Invitational, a must watch each and every week, hosted by Matt Humans. Thanks to Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, as well as Ryan Hunter. I'm Tim Murray. Once again, reminder, please rate, review, and subscribe. Really helps us out in those iTunes rankings. So if you can hit that 5-star ranking, give us a little bit of a review. And we're also up on YouTube, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast. That's going to do it. Let's get some winners here in week number 4.